Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live, we are, from AmericanFreedomRadio.com, from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's beautiful, especially because it's Fukushima radiated, and everybody got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb.
Speaking of people getting part-time jobs, there's a hilarious story out of New Zealand, and I love mainstream media headlines because they just make me laugh. Unemployment up to 7.3%, a 13-year high in New Zealand. All right, here's the first line of the article. This will crack you up if you're a New Zealander and you've been listening to the show for a while and you actually know what the hell is going on and what kind of scumbaggery we have rolling around and ruling this country like a pig in filth. And by the way, the caller lines are open for this show, 218-339-8525. If you want to talk about the commiseration of the presidency, I'll be touching on that topic in a minute. But I just thought this first liner out of the... Out of the mainstream media here in New Zealand was freaking hilarious. New Zealand's unemployment rate rose, and here's the funny part, unexpectedly. Unexpected. The Prime Minister John Key gets the country into $400 million worth of debt a week, sells all the state assets, fires shockingly large amounts of government employees, and implements programs and Trans-Pacific Partnership deals which destroy New Zealand manufacturing and its industrial base if ever it frickin' had one. And it's unexpected that the unemployment rate rises. You frickin' retards. Unbelievable. And I don't want to insult the mainstream media, but no, actually, I lie. I do want to insult the mainstream media, but I shouldn't. You know, it's kind of like we're coming down to their level. In fact, when you're talking about mainstream media, it's just you read one line, and that line takes... three pages to fill in the blanks. Such is the incompetence of these people. It's extraordinary. I don't get it. But look at it this way. Mainstream media going down in a big, big way. Like CNN. I was just on the Mike Harris show on the Rents Radio Network, right? He told me that the CNN has lost 45% of its market share. That is huge. That is significant. We are beating them hands down. They're having their asses handed to them by us. Little old Vinnie Eastwood, little old American Freedom Radio, little old Patriot networks and units of people who are like surviving with maybe about $5-$12 spare cash at the end of the week are destroying the listenership, readership, and viewership, and every other type of ship that the mainstream media currently held, or used to hold, once upon a time back in the day. And I think half of the reason for this is that there's no diversity. Okay, mainstream media will always cover the same headlines. Okay, you watch, if you're in New Zealand, for example, you know what I'm talking about. You flip from Channel 1 news to Channel 3 news, half the time, in between the flips, they'll just end a story and then start reporting the story that the other network was just reporting on, and then they start reporting on it. Uh-huh. Back and forth, over and over and over and over again. The same news. And then you go to the Māori channel, and then the Māori news, it's the same news. And then you go to the radio channels, and you have a look at these show hosts that have got all these news items. It's the same news. And guess where they get all the news? Predominantly for New Zealand. They get it from overseas, from the Associated Press. Now, like this, for example, Barack Obama was last night returned to the White House for a second term, saying, "The best is yet to come." Best for frickin' who? And thanking his supporters for believing all the way, blindly, over every hill that they took from Iraqis, and through every valley that they poisoned with Monsanto products. In a speech at Obama headquarters in Chicago after walking on to the Motown anthem, "Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours," that's Stevie Wonder, the United States President said the defeat of Mittens Romney, not Mittens, I always want to see a little picture of little Mittens playing with a ball of string, was a vote for action, not politics as usual. Really? So re-electing somebody is not politics as usual. Mr. Obama promised more change. What? For who? The homeless? Oh my god. See, the writers, are just, these writers must be the greatest comedians ever. Oh my god. Hey, see, and I now find why the New World Order have a really sick, dilapidated sense of humour. Because if you know what the truth is, when you see all the lies being ratcheted out, line after line after line of lies, frack, that's some funny Shiite Muslim. Oh, yeah. Pretty hilarious, don't you think? Mr. Obama promised, and we all know how many of those he's kept, none! More change! He comes up on a platform of change. There's like 2 million people turned up on the bell to celebrate him with waving their little flags and happy as Larry's and all of that kind of stuff. And he goes, "Oh, we're going to bring change. We're going to bring change." And then by the time he comes to re-election 4 years later, there's no such thing as any freaking change that you've seen. There's nothing has even hinted at going in a different direction. And then he comes out after being re-elected and promises more of the same. More change, which means no change. Well, change for the worse, at least. And people still frickin' line up and vote for him. And you have arguments with people on the Facebook and stuff like that. Posted the status, "Hey, Obama's been re-elected, and there is still no frickin' change." Chick comes up and goes, "Oh, yeah, I suppose you think Romney would have done a better job." As if that's a frickin' choice. Look. If you're trying to exterminate somebody or something of that nature, okay, or better yet, you're training assassins to kill themselves before they get caught. So you've got a cyanide pill or an arsenic pill, okay, and you're asking them to vote. Okay, mate, I'll tell you what. This one will kill you in 3 seconds. This one will kill you in 3 seconds. Which one do you want? I think I'll take the one that kills me in 3 seconds. Well, you have to define your choice, because this one will kill you in 3 seconds in a really horrible way, and this one will kill you in 3 seconds in a really awful way. You know, you've got to make your choice, and you've got to stand by it and be proud of your choice. Come on. And I'm really upset today that we're under FCC regulation, to be honest, because the stream of very, very nasty words that are currently caught in my larynx, screaming to be let free, is incomparable. These filthy, frickin' scum. Obama promised more change and hinted that the past decade of war was coming to a close. Really? Is that why you sent drones into Pakistan? Because we wanted to end the decade of undeclared war. Tonight, more than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward. In the image of the New World Order, no doubt. Oh, Obama. Oh, isn't he so sweet? He's going to finish the job that he started. Our road has been hard. Our journey has been long. But we have picked ourselves up.
He reminds me of like a globalist Martin Luther King.
You know, like if Martin Luther King was a scumbag and was working for the other side. Is that not an interesting thing? He also sounds kind of like Elvis. In the tone of his voice kind of thing. You know, I half expect him to finish his speech about how he's going to save the economy and kind of like swing his hips from side to side and go, oh, oh, oh. You know, that's what Obama reminds me of. Just some kind of a slick, black-leading, soul singer, long-legged, Mac Daddy, globalist, I will kill every single one of you by banning your guns and then exterminating you in a FEMA camp type mofo. That's what I'm talking about. Our road has been hard. Our journey has been long. We've picked ourselves up and we know in our hearts that for the United States of America, the best is yet to come. The best of what? The best tyranny that's ever existed? The best levels of poverty that have ever existed by banker standards, meaning hell of a lot more of it? Every single time you see these people speak, it's like total sociopathic lying criminality. Every word. It's hilarious, isn't it? Every American that participated in this election, what, like 18 frickin' percent? Who the hell is he addressing here? Every American. Is he addressing every American or just the ones that were stupid enough to participate in the election? Oh, my God. Whether you held a Romney... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Cannot contain myself. This is the most hilarious stuff ever. I mean, honestly, I have heard... I've not heard comedy this good since Bill Hicks and George Carlin freaking died of cancer. It's just... Oh, and I'm not wasted, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really just feeling that nauseated from the hilarity of the insanity. It's like I feel all encompassing. I've become one with the New World Order sense of hilarity. They'd read these articles, and they'd be laughing just as hard as me. The problem is it's really not funny, actually, at the end of the day. Really, is it? And dig this. I want to finish that sentence. I just cracked up laughing in the middle of it. It's, you know, like it's like reporting on somebody who's been arrested for farting in front of a cop. Every American that participated in this election, whether you held a Romney or Obama sign, you made your voice heard. Okay, so I'm acting under the assumption that the third party's voice was not heard.
because only the people with the Obama and the Romney signs ever get any media coverage. Free elections. Free debates. Freedom in general. Frickin' disappeared. Disappeared. And it will not come back. I'm betting. Ever. There will never be a free election in the United States. Unless, of course, you reduce the power of the federal government such that there ain't no possibility anybody could lead the country, and that the biggest position of authority you could hold would be governor. Maybe then. But even not then, because every single small society from large always winds up becoming corrupt by the money power elite. You know, can you name me one candidate that was... one candidate. I hate ignoring the third parties. And I hated how the mainstream media ignores the third parties. I watched the third party debate. It was hosted by Larry King, a legend in broadcasting. And they didn't even fracking televise it. Because they ignore them that much. And whatever scum douchebag that they got to host the regular presidential debates, I wasn't familiar with him. I didn't care what he was. He wasn't compelling. He wasn't entertaining. He wasn't slick. It was pathetic. That's precisely what these people are, okay? You've got pathetic, lying, clone scumbags being supported by pathetic, weak-minded fools with microphones and cameras telling everybody the way the world is. And now you should vote for the lesser of two evils. Hold on. If you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're voting for evil. And if you're proud about your voting choice, then you are proud to support evil. Why don't you go out and sacrifice a child if you want to vote for Obama? Why don't you go out and kill somebody who's perfectly innocent, walking along the side of the road out while you're driving by, if you support evil that much? Why don't you just have some courage for your convictions? If you want to vote for people that kill people, why don't you have the balls to kill somebody yourself? You murdering psychopathic morons! A lot of you! Anybody who participated in this election loves murder and death and cruelty and destruction. End of frickin' story. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You're going to love this network, man. All right, now, on with the Obama drivel. A decade of war is ending by sending drones into places that aren't declared wars. A long campaign is over that was started for absolutely no reason based on false pretenses, and you still built about 50 giant military bases in Iraq encompassing and surrounding all remaining oil reserves in the Middle East in order to control it and make sure China and Russia can't get their hands on it, so you've got an upper hand in a third world war. And whether I earned your vote or not, and you frickin' didn't, I listened from you. Yeah, he listened. He listened to everything that we wanted and did the direct frickin' opposite. Learn from you and how to manipulate us. And that made me a better president. I return more determined to destroy the country and inspired than ever about the work there is to do.
demolishing and dismantling any form of rights or constitution the country had.
Tonight, you voted for action, not politics as usual.
Yeah, voted for action. Like what? More action in the Middle East? What's the difference between going out and invading countries and politics and usual in the United States? I mean, has there been a president since JFK who hasn't declared wars for no freaking good reason? Is this politics as usual? It's just...
Thank you for believing all the way over every hill, through every valley. You lifted me up, and I will always be grateful.
Yeah, we were the one carrying you through all the hills and valleys, like lifted up on a mobile bed with like a 8,000 or 40 million slaves or something like that, holding you up like you're the frickin' emperor messiah. He spoke of his wife Michelle saying,
I would not be the man I am today if it were not for the woman I married 20 years ago.
What do you mean? Who was ordained as the minister who married you? Was it your handler?
Michelle, I have never loved you more and never been prouder.
You know, I love you so much, honey. You stood by me the entire time while we lie to everybody together, and you cover my ass on the children's side of things by going on and talking to Big Bird about how nobody should ever look at my birth certificate. You know, I love you so much, honey. You're just really backing me the whole way, aren't you? And he spoke of his defeated rival, Mr. Romney, saying they had, quote,
battled fiercely. But it is only because we love this country deeply.
Battled like a couple of frickin' WCW / WWF / BS / CIA NSA frickin' wrestling match. More like,
I'm gonna kick the crap out of you.
And behind scenes, they're still drinking top shelf liquor. They're still smoking illegal Cuban cigars together out on the White House frickin' bench, aren't they?
Mitt, my man. Come over here, drink some of this Shiite Muslim. Come on out to the deck, man. We're going to talk about pedophilia. We don't want anybody else to be listening. In the weeks ahead, I look forward to sitting down with Mr. Romney to talk about how we can work together to take this country forward.
Forward where? Over a freaking cliff! Mr. Romney earlier conceded defeat in Boston, telling supporters he had called Mr. Obama to congratulate him on his victory and that he would pray the president will be successful in guarding our nation. But Obama faces a bitterly divided country. Those who know what the frack is going on and those who are so freaking dumb that you could open an oven in front of them and tell them, get in it. I'm trying to help you. I'm wearing a uniform. And they will. So people willingly get themselves exterminated because they're that freaking dense. That's what these kind of politicians prey on. Your hope and your willingness to believe. To abdicate all reason and thought. That's what they do. And they need you to help them along. Okay? You can't build anything that is fully destructive these days without a bunch of workforce. You know? I mean, how do you think a tank gets produced? You think it's just one dude just magics it up out of the ether? No, there's heaps of people working on it. Heaps of jobs being created. Heaps of people making the armor and the shells and the explosives and the missile guidance systems. And the interior cockpit headphone CD player so they can listen to heavy metal while they're killing innocent people. You know, there's a lot of industry behind fracking people up. And you think that somehow the United States government is different, considering it spends, like, more money on the military than the next, like, 30 countries combined or some Shiite Muslim? You know? How naive are people? It's the only reason why the elections go forward at all! At all, is because there's shockingly large amounts of naive people out there who think that there's actually a difference. And even if they realise that there ain't no frickin' difference, they still vote for one of the two main enslaving frickin' candidates who will just butcher you and cut off your frickin' feet and your head and your hands and everything and feed you to the lions. People are just such suckers, man. And I would laugh at it, but it's really not funny. As I mentioned before, these people are just dupes. Okay, and they can't learn. They've got a memory that's like, I don't know, 20 minutes long. So after a 4-year election of somebody lying to you, like basically he'll tell you the truth only for the end of his election campaign, okay? And as soon as he's elected, oh, well, back out come the lies. Oh, no, in fact, what am I saying? There's nothing but lies. Whether they're in office or out of office or trying to get into office, they've got nothing but lies. Nothing but lies. Because anybody who tells the truth gets sidelined and destroyed. Okay, that's what the Electoral College voting system is really about, ensuring anybody who actually stands for freedom, justice, and constitution and anything else that actually connotes actual American values is shifted and shafted aside. You know, what do you got? You had like 4 minor parties or something like that who had this debate. It was the most brilliant debate that I've ever witnessed in American politics in my life. Because it was actually people talking sense, where every second word wasn't 8 lies stitched together. It was brilliant. And virtually nobody saw it, and virtually nobody voted for them, and it was not even mentioned. Not even mentioned once by any of the dozen or so mainstream media news outlets that I was perusing looking for it. It just didn't exist. You can't have people remaining naive if people are out there telling the truth in the public eye. It's not possible. We've got to keep getting out here, man. And this is the reason why a lot of people get really angry and or excited, or a lot of emotional stuff comes out of it in elections, I think, is because, well, basically, if you've got no information, you've got nothing but emotions to go on. Luke Rutkowski in New York went out saying to Obama supporters, these are Romney policies, illegal wiretapping, keeping Guantanamo Bay open, keeping the wars going, and borrowing huge amounts of money, bailing out for special interest, stuff like that. And he said, these are Romney policies. And they go, oh, my God, I'm really, really against that. Oh, God, gosh dang, the country will be destroyed if Romney gets in over Obama. Obama phone. And then he comes out and he kind of comes clean and he says, well, actually, these were all Obama policies that I was reading out to you that he's completely and utterly implemented the whole time. And then instead of going, well, in that case, I'm not going to vote for Obama or Romney, they go, well, I'll still vote for Obama anyway because I'm that stupid. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You ever get somebody who's so dumb? Your neck gives way and your hand instantly comes up to rest your face on. Oh, God, it's so dumb. Like, your brain hurts from the stupidity. And this is why truthers get really angry and emotional about it. It's because offensive behavior for us revolves around supporting genocide, and moronic behavior invariably supports genocide. So we get instantly so upset, aggressive even, when we see a moronity, or whatever the frank plural of moron is. Or, you know, it's just, come on, baby. Don't lie to me no more. I just want to have some fried chicken and a little bit of chips and potato and gravy with my KFC. I don't want to have to worry about no politics. I just want to live my life free and happy, spend some time with my children, and grow old, watch my grandchildren be born, share them some of the stories of when I was a boy, back when we had freedom or something like that. It'll be all nice and mushy.
That's all I want for my whole life.
Invariably, that's what people do. We all just want to be left alone. We all just want to be happy. And we all just want to really spend, ultimately, at the end of the day, time with our friends and our family. But no policy that comes out of government, no news reports that come out of mainstream media ever encourage, promote, or even cover that real desire and need to simply be left alone to your own devices, be free, and be happy. And there are people out there who don't want to be left alone, don't want to be free, don't really want to be happy. In fact, happiness for them doesn't even exist. It's only the physical thrill that drives them anymore. The thrill of being a narcissist who people love. The thrill of being a psychopath who can get away with murder. The thrill of being a sociopath who can sell out hundreds of billions of real people's money that they saved their entire lives just so that they can get a golden parachute. Those are the rulers of society. Those are the only people who actually want to rule. Nobody else does. The only time when we ever get into any kind of responsible position is when we've either volunteered ourselves begrudgingly or it's been given to us and we didn't want it and we can't wait for it to end. You know? Baby, you got to go do the dishes. Oh, no! See, there's a responsibility that gets put on you and you don't want to do it. Nobody wants responsibilities. However, that's the whole problem with society now. During the first depression, people were capable of fixing their shoes, stitching up their clothing, growing food, raising a family, and being able to teach things in an academic level to their children. That was the average person. The average person nowadays can't do any of those. Nothing. They've got no independence of any kind. No independence of thought. No financial independence. No resources or anything that would really matter or allow you to live a peaceful, happy life and having people leave you alone otherwise, unless you've committed some form of scumbaggery, they just simply don't exist anymore. And it's been on purpose, of course, because if you had people who were, well, capable of telling the government, excuse me, frack you, I'm not going to listen to anything that you say because you're a liar and I'm independent. And I can think for myself. And I can critically analyze the Bolshevik that's coming out of your mouth. And I know what you're really about. You've given yourself away with every sentence you use. You've given yourself away with every dollar that comes into you from major banking cartels. These people really are the men behind the curtain. They got no power. They don't run nothing. They're simply frickin' slaves. Obama, you're a slave. Romney, you're a slave. John Key, you're a slave. What do you think is going to happen to you once you implement this great global tyranny? You think you're going to be around to enjoy it? Hell no, you'll be executed even quicker than the rest of the people that you're selling out right now. You know why? Because the elite, throughout history, every time when they have brought in some kind of tyrannical system, have always exterminated all of the henchmen that helped them get there. Why? Because they're the only ones who know the inner workings who could bring it down from the inside. They're the most dangerous. Nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not on the inside causing problems, you should be on the outside pointing a finger at the problem and trying to attract people's attention. Only once we have enough attention in the public sphere will the truth about these things really come out. I don't want to sit through another election, honestly. We'll see you right after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Let's keep
need to feed up. This, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the American presidency theme song. Wait for it. Listen to it.
The word is about. There's something evolving. Wherever we come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here. That the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
The Funny Ashley Show.
It's the show that's all about history repeating.
And you got to love mainstream media and the stuff that they put out. It's just so obviously paid off. You know, here's a headline. You'll love this. I'm sorry, just give me a second. Okay. Fracking safe, says Todd Energy. So an energy company that's engaging in fracking, which is the worst environmental catastrophic causing shocking crap that any type of energy extraction has ever come up with in the universe, says that it's safe, and the mainstream media reports it as though it's true. Are you kidding me? No wonder nobody listens to them anymore. Yeah, look at this. It's been up for 4 hours. On the 8th most popular website in the country. And it has 5 tweets and 13 likes. Does that sound like they got an audience or not? They just simply don't have an audience. Nobody will listen to them anymore. I don't know where the hell they get the 8th most popular website in the country from. I mean, I looked at that on Alexa.com. Bugger if I can figure out how they come up with those numbers. Maybe they just buy Google Hits. Did you know you can buy Google Hits? Precisely what they're doing. All their polls and everything they take out are completely BS. And, you know, why would the information that they put out be any less BS? Local oil and gas company Todd Energy says the practice of fracking in New Zealand's oil and gas wells is safe. The company has been involved in hydraulic fracturing on 26 occasions in New Zealand and says the controversial process, known colloquially as fracking, is safe when used at great depth and away from freshwater aquifers. Really? So, when you get down real deep, did you realize that there's actually a layer of water? It's called the water table. You figured it out. You can't drill down deep without going through the water table. It's not possible. These lying frickin' filth. Oh, my God. Just forcing people off the land everywhere. I'm sorry. I'm ranting. normally, publicity shy, Todd has released a 177-page submission on fracking, prepared for the investigation into the practice by Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, Jan Wright, whose report is due by the end of the year and could decide the fate of fracking in New Zealand. They don't tell you the fact that they've done like 40 sites plus 80 sites or something ridiculous that are fracking all over the country right now as we speak. Already feeling the effects of it are the people of New Zealand. And here they are coming out to say, oh, it's all going to be G-Unit, isn't it? What's going on here, man? I'm sick to death of this. And you know, honestly, the only reason why I'm reading this article is because I'm so depressed and angry about the elections and it just gets me so fired up. And yet here I am again getting fired up about something else. You know, what the hell is wrong with me, man? The hell is wrong with me? I feel like I'm losing it. Like, when the election cycle comes round, sanity kind of takes a back step. And this bubbling tar pit of rage just starts oozing forth with such
such power and conviction that I cannot stop it. I don't know how. It offends me that greatly. And I've never been able to let go of anything. To this day, there's still 17 people on my list that owe me money from as much as 9 years ago. And I still remember their names. I still remember how much money they owe me. I still remember what they stole from me. I don't know how to forgive people for wrong. I don't. Which is really annoying because it means I'm carrying around all this unforgiven baggage. And I don't know, maybe I'm trying to cover it over and you know, just kind of like a dog covering a bone, you know, just scratching it all behind me like some kind of a demented wood chipper of emotion just spraying out all this crap behind me so I can cover up my past. Stuff that I don't want to think about. And by filling it with stuff in my present that I still don't want to think about, really, really hate, to be honest with you, and can't stand. There's something messed up about that. And it's messed up about me and society at large, don't you think? If you're looking for reasons to be ticked off, you'll find more than you can bargain for. If you're looking for reasons to be happy, on the other hand, you can probably find plenty of those too. The problem is when you're exposed to conspiracy theories at a young age, well, suddenly the world is not a happy place anymore. No matter how you try to dress it up, you can have periods of happiness when you're not doing your work, you're not doing your job, you're not being enslaved at that particular moment, you're not in handcuffs or whatever. It's like, oh, great, isn't it nice that I'm not in handcuffs? See, the most positive thing you can say is like, at least even worse stuff isn't happening, right? That's how people justify it. Well, at least I've still got both my legs working. Well, at least I've still got my health. At least there's still two false presidents to vote for, and it's not just an all-out dictatorship. It's like, I think the reason why I don't forgive people who've done me wrong is because they haven't done anything to right the situation. I don't value forgiveness unless it is earned. I mean, many people and many things that I have forgiven people for, but it's only after they've actually apologized and even sought forgiveness. Other people, on the other hand, these people will never, like people in the presidency and people in this fracking industry, or people in Monsanto CEO headship, or giant Rockefeller cartels, or the Council on Foreign Relations, or the Trilateral Commission, or the Bilderberg Group, these people will never admit wrongdoing. They will never seek forgiveness. They will only continue to lie to cover up their ass while they crap all over you. That's what makes me so angry. That's why it's so unforgivable. That's why people have got to stop being pussies about it. Harden the frack up, America. Harden the frack up, New Zealand. Harden the frack up, Australia, UK, Canada, Myanmar, wherever the frack you are. Stop pussyfooting around. Take these people out for a coffee and say to them, hey, bro, look, Mr. Obama, I've got something to ask you, and I want you to answer me honestly. Do you actually believe the words that you speak during your speeches? Well, no, I don't. Okay. So, why do you keep lying and postulating policies that perpetrate murder and poverty on your people? Because they're not my people. And even if they were, wouldn't stand up for them because I'd just be taken out by JFK. Well, you're a freaking coward then, mate. You're a freaking liar and a freaking coward. And you're coming out in front of people telling them that you're going to save them, that you're going to give them some description of change. And you know for a fact that you're not going to. And you know for a fact that it can't be done even if you did want to. What do you say to somebody like that? You say what Donald Trump does. You're fired. You're not doing the job. The job is to sacrifice everything in your life, every hour, every minute, every brain cell, every synapse, to protect the people of the United States from enemies, foreign and domestic. If you are the foreign enemy, you simply live in domesticity, then you yourself are the enemy that you should be fighting against. Maybe it's time to change sides, Mr. Obama. But he won't. Neither will Romney. You can't get into those positions without being a known psychopath with no conscience. That's my opinion now. If you're looking at somebody who's the head of a political party, they're a psychopath. Okay, there's no, I don't want to hear any arguments. Oh, Vinny, how can you say that? Because they lie to you. You cannot even detect those lies. They don't even have so much as a nervous twitch when they lie to you consistently, time after time. They make decisions that are amoral, and they, again, suffer no attack of a conscience. That's a psychopath. Psychopath's a very nice, friendly person who's very smiley when you first meet him, but ultimately has no depth to their character, no depth to their personality, doesn't care about anybody else other than themselves, totally narcissistic. And the three places that the American Medical Journal states that you are likely to find these people: three industries, business, media, and politics. What would you say are the three ruling pentacultural frickin' pillars of our society? It'd definitely be those three industries. One controls the money, one controls the power, one controls the mind. Psychopaths love that Shiite Islam, and they'll use it against you for their own ends and their own selfish endeavors, and they'll leave you bleeding and dying in the street. And they won't really feel bad about it. They'll think it's funny. Listen to the Vinny Hanson Show. We'll be right back. Now, hour number two of the happiest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. We scream and yell and act really nuts about incredibly scary stuff. U.S. president on edge of fiscal cliff. Understatement of the century. Okay. Oh, this is a headline article in the New Zealand Herald, okay, and no likes, no tweets, no G pluses, no nothing. Not even so much shared. And it's an article straight lifted out of Associated Press anyway. This is New Zealand media for you, man. They used to have, dig this, I think New Zealand Herald used to have like 93 or something around that, like investigative reporters working for them. They now have like three or four working full-time. No wonder copying everybody else's content. The alternative media do it too. Except we don't have to worry about whether or not this content might be credible or whatever, because we just rip it to shreds. Like, let's proceed. And I want to take some callers. Frickin' heck, why are there no callers? 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. Unless, of course, you're all sucking back the tequila so that you can get a hangover that will perhaps somehow block out the memory of this election. I can understand that kind of mentality. Maybe why you might not be listening right now. So, continuing on with the article. If all of the tax cuts empire and all of the spending cuts take effect, the superpower could tip into recession. What do you mean tip into recession? It's already in recession. All right? I mean, it's more of a recession than somebody who smokes weed and then tries to breathe the smoke that they breathe out back in. Recession. Spend any time looking at the United States fiscal numbers, and it is hard to escape the conclusion that the land of the free is also the land of the freeloader. So wide is the gap between what Americans expect their government to do for them and what they are prepared to pay for in taxes. Yeah, that's right, because it costs about 30 times, I don't know, about 30 times as much to get something done through a government agency as it does to just get it done. As long as the election loomed, their political leaders have had a powerful incentive to dodge the task of putting the US government's finances on a credible path to sustainability. Oh, there's that Agenda 21 buzzword, sustainability, which means you can't get any electricity if the government doesn't want to give it to you. You can't get no food, no gas, no water, no nothing. Right? That's sustainability. That's what they want. It is a challenge as daunting as it is pressing. And I love the numbers that they fudge out here. You know, most of the major media, they never even, take a mention, fractional reserve or derivatives. Okay, take this. The federal government has just recorded its fourth and annual deficit in a row, north of US dollar, $1 trillion. It borrows $1 for every $3 it spends. Here's the reality. It's actually more like a couple of quadrillion in derivative debt. They take $1, call it $40, gamble it on a stock market at 1,000 to 1, and then that debt is still there, and it ain't going away, and eventually somebody's going to have to pay for that. $4 quadrillion is worth more than the whole world's assets and monetary and hard metals combined. There's more debt than what's actually in existence. What are we going to do? Harvest Mars to pay off the debt? You've got to be freaking kidding me. People are nuts. We got no concept of what the heck is going on with the economy. You know, I don't know nothing. And I still know 10,000 times more, at least, that's being conservative. And half of these mainstream media economic douchebag reporters don't know nothing. You're idiots with suits and frickin' ties. No research. No interviews with people who actually know what the frack is really, really going on. The U.S. Treasury warned last week that it could hit the debt ceiling of $16.4 trillion, equivalent to more than 100% of the U.S. gross domestic product by the end of the year. The Congressional Budget Office estimates the federal government will spend $3.8 trillion on interest payments alone in the next 10 years, and that is under its baseline projections, which assume that current laws remain unchanged. In other words, it assumes that the U.S. will mark the new year by jumping off the fiscal cliff into recession. It probably won't, of course, but it is one of those low-probability, high-impact events that'll get everybody incredibly afraid and maybe pulling their money out of the stock market, as happened with the very first Black Tuesday or whatever it was, stock market crashes that the Rockefellers and JP Morgan and all of those other scumbags, they just put it out through their media. Oh, there's runs on the banks, there's runs on the banks. And everybody suddenly freaked out, and then there was a run on the banks. And then all the little banks who were all competitors with these giant banking cartel scum went out of business because of the lies made up by the giant banking cartel scum. And they never got back in business. Mm-mm. They got bought out. But pennies on the dollar. That's precisely what happens every recession. Every time there's a stock market crash, to my reckoning, the small, independent, strong businesses take a massive hit and the giant businesses swallow them up. It's like frickin' Jonah or something. It probably won't. You see, this guy's naive beyond reckoning. If he thinks the United States is not going to go off a cliff at some point. All right, they've already said, and they've been coming out since the election ended, you know, moments ago, that now what they're talking about is instead of this huge billion-dollar extravaganza of Bolshevik BS, we're instead now going to focus on taxing American families, each family, $3,500 a year, and they can't even afford to pay their rent in the first frickin' place. And also a $600 billion spending cut which apparently will be cut from the military. Yeah, so they can instead donate that money to Monsanto, who own Blackwater, who are going to who are practically running Iraq now anyway. Economic news. Has anybody else seen good economic news before? Or is everything just totally, totally insane now? Okay? This guy's talking about this fiscal cliff, and he's used the word fiscal cliff four times in the article already. The fiscal cliff arises because several time-limited measures are all set to expire at the same time. That's not a coincidence. It's called a coordinated strike. These people know, absolutely know, without equivocation, that at the end of the years, between Christmas and New Year's Eve, there ain't nobody in Congress or the Senate to resist any agenda. Okay? When they passed the Federal Reserve Bill, when do you think it was? Over Christmas. And so many others, I can't even think of them off the top of my head, but if you have a look at any legislation that's passed during Christmas, it's usually the most most horrendous, most despicable, most Stasi-like type legislation all gets shafted in there during that 1 week. You know, like in New Zealand, the asset sales bill, when they were going to sell umpteen billion dollars worth of profit reducing producing assets to foreigners, pass it over Christmas. Huh? Okay. Well, you know why? Because there's nobody around to resist it because we're all on holiday. It goes back to what I was saying before about how good, decent people just want to stay home with their families. They don't want to have to go to work in order to defend the whole country on their holidays. No, they want to spend some freaking time with their families, man. Have some fun. But instead of having fun, they arrive home to find their country in ashes. Burned to the ground, fiscally speaking, by criminals wielding torches of derivatives that simply weigh down your economy like cement shoes to a mafia victim. These people know how to take control of your country. They've been doing it for quite some time. They're quite proficient at it. Firstly, you've got to create a crisis, all right? Nobody wants to do anything if there ain't no crisis. It's like you walk up to somebody who's in their house and you say to them, you know, maybe you should buy this little bit of gold here. And they go, okay, why should I buy that little bit of gold? Well, is there a problem? They say, well, yeah, the economy is about to collapse. Gold is the oldest store of wealth. Back in Roman times, you could buy a suit of armor for an ounce of gold. And today, you could buy a very nice tailored suit for an ounce of gold. It's got the same value. US dollar doesn't. US dollar's been down 97%, and it's getting worse. So you think to yourself, man, that's a bit of a crisis. How much is that gold? You know, that's how you get people's interest in. And then you've created the crisis. So now you've got to propose a solution, but you've got to propose a solution that'll make you rich and make them poor, right? So what you do is you get that gold and you put a markup on it, okay? And unbeknownst to this person, you've been buying up all the gold over the entire economy. Everything that was actually supporting the value of the currency, you've been buying out to make the currency value go down. And then you go up to people and you sell them gold by saying that it's the store of the currency, or the store of the wealth, and you charge them a markup. And you salt the coins and the bars with tungsten, which is the same weight, or pretty close to, of gold, and people don't notice. How many times have you seen somebody saw one of their gold bars in half just to check if it was fully gold? People don't do that, man. See? You can get away with a scam endlessly. This is how these people work. And if you're not aware, if you're not aware that this is how they work, what they're doing will continue to work in perpetuity. Because each new generation that comes in wouldn't have heard of this scam before, wouldn't have experienced it, because all the people that actually saw this scam happening in the first place and tried to do something about it either become too broke to get their message out or mentally traumatized so that nobody listens to them when they tell them the truth, or just straight up bumped off. Okay, they've figured this out. They're taking the long view. Now, we, as a people, certainly the people of America and all over the world, of course, but we as a people, and I don't want to put everybody into groups. There are no Americans, there are no New Zealanders, there are no Aussies. There are only slaves. So slaves of the world. I know you may not want to think of yourself as a slave. Are you still paying your taxes? Yes, you are. You're a slave. Are you still paying gas to the Rockefeller oil cartel just in order to get to your slave job? Yes, you are. Slave. And I'm not saying be depressed about being a slave. Slaves have a huge amount of power. Huge amount. Why do you think they need us? They need slaves to build their prisons for them. They need slaves to work the gears of the machines that kill other slaves and enslave other slaves. It's not the blind leading the blind. It's the enslaved enslaving the enslaved. It's insane. If we just realize, just stop right now and realize, I've still got all this mechanism of slavery bonding me. My hands are cuffed with dollar bills. My feet are shackled together with petrochemical bonds. My freedom of movement is restricted by a fence of ideology. I'm in a prison camp. I may not be able to see the bars. I may not be able to see the guards checking up on me every day. But the bars are there nonetheless. And the guards are checking up on me all day, every day, regardless of how hard I look for them and don't find them. This is my intense realization, ladies and gentlemen. Even though I'm out here fighting against being a slave and getting exterminated or whatever, it doesn't mean that I forget the simple and obvious truth that you are a slave, Neo. Mm-hmm. Once you realize you're not free, you'll be surprised how freeing it is. Ironically enough. Because what have you got to lose now? I'm a slave. I don't want to be a slave anymore. I don't want to work for this people. I don't want to talk with that person. I don't want to have anything in my life that connotes scumbaggery anymore. That's the unslave mentality, okay? You can't just free yourself, okay? You're held down by too many hands. Imagine this. You're lying flat on the ground, face forward. None of your muscles are really designed to move backwards. They're all designed to move forward. So they're pinning your ability to amass strength down to the ground so that whenever you push, you're actually trying to push yourself up rather than bring somebody else down to stop them from holding you down. You know what I'm saying? So you got that situation there. And you've got maybe, just call a random number. Let's say you've got 20 people's pairs of hands on you. One person's holding down each of your hands. One person's holding down each of your forearms. One person's holding down each of your shoulders. One person's holding down your head. One person's holding down your back. One person's holding down each of your butt cheeks. One's holding down each segment of your legs. One's holding down your sexual organs. You see what I'm saying here? There is no way you can get out of that hold. That is the hold they have on all of us. It's not possible to escape it while these hands still exist. And I say that the only way to do it is to cut their fingers off, one at a time. Do the exact opposite of everything they want you to do. They try to push your head in one direction, force it back the other way. They try to put your hand down to grasp something that you don't want to hold a grasp on. Let go of it and watch it smash on the ground 1,000 feet below you. Do the opposite of whatever you're being told to do, and you'll ironically find out that you're suddenly doing the right thing and not being a slave. We'll be right back after the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the breed of uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on a native land. Project eugenics land on the common man, expand the military industrial complex. Annex or install you with chemical objects. Vex the psyop attacking your conscience. Next, your brain agrees with the offense.
Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Now, speaking of Obama, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has on Wednesday described re-elected President Barack Obama as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Well, is he a Fabian socialist or isn't he?
Of course he is.
And he said he expected the US government to keep attacking the anti-secrecy website, which is allegedly funded by Israel. Speaking, and in fact, it was another interesting thing. Apparently WikiLeaks, and I'm not sure if I've got sufficient evidence to comment on this myself, but allegedly WikiLeaks is kind of like a New World Order, Zionist control sort of entity, and its main goal is to breach security and leak documents and things of that nature in order to give a very bad impression of hackers and truth tellers so that they can censor the web. And then after WikiLeaks leaks a whole bunch of stuff, then the government comes out and says, oh, we need to censor the web. Seems pretty simple, but a lot more complicated than that. Obama seems to be a nice man, and that is precisely the problem, 41-year-old Australian told AFP after the president defeated Republican Rippin' On Me. Rippin' On Me. That's his new name, Rippin' On Me. On Tuesday night, local time, to sweep back into the White House. It's better to have a sheep in wolf's clothing than a wolf in sheep's clothing. Assange complained of the persecution of WikiLeaks by Obama's government. He added, quote, all the activities against WikiLeaks by the United States have occurred under an Obama administration. The Republican Party has not been an effective restraining force on government excesses over the last 4 years. There is no reason to believe that will change. In fact, the Republicans will push the administration into ever greater excesses. Assange urged the United States to free Bradley Manning, the soldier accused of leaving a huge cache of classified military documents to WikiLeaks, and he has been held in solitary confinement in a military prison for over 2 years. They put you in solitary confinement to make you go insane. Humans are real social creatures, and when we have no social interaction, the brain starts to degrade and your ability to communicate with people gradually disappears. And he goes on to say, the re-election of Barack Obama coincides with the 899th day of Bradley Manning's confinements. WikiLeaks enraged Washington in 2010 by leaking thousands of classified U.S. documents on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and embarrassing diplomatic cables from U.S. embassies around the world. Assange was arrested that same year. Such a coincidence. He denies the allegations of rape and sexual assault and claims that if he is extradited to Sweden, he could be passed on to the United States and prosecuted, facing similar treatment to Manning's or even the death sentence. Death sentence for sexual assault. Alleged sexual assault by some CIA honeypot. Oh boy, America's so free. Ecuador granted Assange asylum on August 16th, but Britain has refused to grant him safe passage out of the country, leaving the two governments in diplomatic deadlock and Assange stuck inside the Ecuador embassy. He faces immediate arrest if he attempts to leave the embassy building in London's plush Knightsbridge district, just around the corner from the famous Harrods department store, which was allegedly started up by Mohammed Al-Fayed, the father of Dodi Fayed, who was killed in a car crash with Princess Diana after they'd been having a nice relationship. And apparently Muhammad al-Fayed got a lot of his money to start Harrods from gun running and things of that nature. Assange said there had been no formal progress in recent weeks on diplomatic solution to his confinement in the embassy, but said WikiLeaks' strategy on ending the stalemate was moving from defence to offence. Asking what is involved, he said it will become clear in the coming months. Assange, who sounded hoarse, refused to comment on his health after Ecuador said last month that it had requested a meeting with British officials to discuss claims that Assange was losing weight and suffering vision problems. Do you know what stress does to you? It makes you sick. And if you were trapped in a prison, even if that prison's an embassy, that causes a lot of stress. That'll cause you weight loss. That'll cause you mental problems. That'll cause you anguish. And goodness knows what other illnesses are associated. The WikiLeaks founder also hit out at British Prime Minister David Cameron for his announcement on Tuesday that he would support giving safe passage to Syria's President Bashar al-Assad if it would bring an end to the country's 18-month bloodshed. So the person... Okay, I do not know what Cameron has offered safe passage to... I do know that... Sorry, let me reread that. I do know that David Cameron has offered safe passage to Bashar al-Assad, Assange said, but there does seem to be some hypocrisy in that. So, some dude who is being demonized daily in numerous ways by Western media using the word regime. In case you didn't catch that, the word is regime. And just 15 times more for effect, regime. See, every time you see a report on one of these. But basically, if it's not a puppet government of the Rothschild banking cartel, it's called a regime. So, there's the scoop. They'll give somebody who they demonize as being the leader of a genocidal regime, which is, I'm not sure if there's much evidence to support that claim, but, you know, I could be wrong. But some dude who's never actually hurt anybody or even so much as manned a rifle can't get safe passage. You see what's going on here? I mean, I remember back in the day when I was first told about WikiLeaks and I was coming up with an idea and I said to my mate, you know what, we really need a civilian intelligence agency. We need to be able to intercept New World Order communications and develop intelligence military propaganda stratagem in order to counter their propaganda and their agendas in a peaceful yet incredibly hostile, direct oppositional manner, in order to sway the public into supporting truth and justice and liberty rather than lies, enslavement, and scumbaggery. And then a mate of mine shows me WikiLeaks. I say, wow, that sounds really good. But of course, the difficulty being, WikiLeaks can't do it alone, neither can I, neither can you. Nobody, none of us. A president couldn't do it on his own. Nobody can. You're talking about solving the world's problems. At best, you can solve your own problems. At best. Maybe solve a few other people's problems. But or help other people, give them advice or support in some way. But only they ultimately will be able to solve their own problems. And the difficulty is now all of our problems are converged. Okay, so we've got scumbaggery in the United States, scumbaggery in New Zealand, scumbaggery in the UK, scumbaggery all over the place. Okay, it's a scumbaggery fiesta out there, ladies and gentlemen. There is so many ways that we're getting messed around on a daily basis, all of us simultaneously, that it's not possible for any one of us to escape it. Okay, we can't. We either escape it all together, or none of us escape it. You see what I'm saying? And this doesn't mean we all need to come together. And it was just got to think about this. How do you come up with an international strategy whereby people are not bound to international laws, international decision-making, or any type of hierarchical structure? Because that's the reason why we're in this problem in the first place, is hierarchy, this obsession with it. This obsession with appealing to authority. Vinny, you should be exposing these people. Vinny, you should be doing radio shows with these people or whatever. It's like, what's stopping you to do it, bro? It didn't cost me a cent to interview or do any of this stuff. There's nothing to stop you either. Don't put the responsibility on me. Don't put the authority on me. If you see a problem, you go out and solve it. Right? I'm not being mean here. I'm just saying this is the only way it actually can be solved. Don't look for other people to solve your problems. Look for other people to collaborate with who you can help with their problems, and maybe they'll be able to help with yours. But in terms of actually solving them, it's an individual thing. Always has been, always will be. And if you ever want to appeal to authority and kind of go, oh, well, I just really, 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 really don't ever want to have to do any work for the rest of my life, and I want everybody else to suffer a slave job and living a life of frickin' misery so that I can drink my... a 100-year-old cognac. I don't understand the mentality. You got to work really, really hard in order to accomplish anything. And people always end up, interestingly enough, exactly where they deserve to be. If you have a goal in your head that you want to be free, that you want to be a filmmaker or a radio show host or a blogger, or an inventor, if you decide to just keep inventing stuff, keep doing radio shows, keep doing blogs, keep doing TV shows or whatever, just do it, suddenly your dreams come true. Because like Theodor Herzl, maybe this might be a bad quote, but Theodor Herzl was one of the founding fathers of the State of Israel, and he says, if you will it, it is no dream. What he meant by that is, if you take action, you don't even have to worry about your dreams or your vision, because it suddenly becomes something real, something right in front of you, something you can see and touch. That's what you need to do. Take what you want to see and simply will it into being through your own actions, through your own thoughts, through your own feelings, through your own relationships with those around you. This is the only way to do it. Other people might get plumb lucky or whatever, but then they never have the trauma or the difficulty of getting to said mountaintop. So they haven't even really earned it. They just tinker off and lose everything that they'd been given, all right? Because power does not come with responsibility. It doesn't. You get given power, and if it's absolute power, it corrupts you absolutely, isn't it? And all great men are inherently evil, isn't it? It's the end of the Lord Acton quote, often misrepresented. So jig this. Are you a great person? Have you got the talents and the skills and whatnot to be in the forefront? Are you willing to sacrifice everything in order to be in the forefront? If not, don't worry about it, man. There are other people out there, people with personalities like mine, who for whom this is a natural progression for them. And if it ain't, if you kind of want to be in the public eye and positioned, go ahead, earn it. All right? Don't fake it. Don't say, oh, I've already got so many listeners and blah, 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 and we're growing really quickly. We'll crap about that. People don't really care about numbers per se. What they care about is the words that are coming out of your mouth. And are you coming out with it consistently, constantly? Are you trying to encourage people, or are you trying to make them feel miserable about themselves? Don't do that. Come on. Let's just have some fun with it. That's the thing I like about this network, man. There really is only one rule. Have fun. You having fun? The audience is having fun. I may have been aggressive or upset or whatever today, but my goodness, I'm having fun. All right? I love exposing scumbaggery. I have a T-shirt that says, I heart to expose scumbaggery.
I believe it. I absolutely do it. All day, every day of the week. I live and breathe and sweat and bleed scumbaggery. It's coming out of every pore. There's no escape for it for me. I wouldn't want it any other way. Because there's nothing more exciting. There's nothing more encouraging than knowing that somebody could freaking kill you at any minute. That is freeing. No, I'm not kidding, man. You're going to die tomorrow. How much restrictions on your free speech do you think you're going to follow? If you're going to die tomorrow, how many of those items on that bucket list are you going to continue to avoid? If you're going to die tomorrow, how many of those people that have messed you around your entire life are you going to continue to bite your lip and not say what needs to be said to them? That's really the pinnacle of existence. I could die tomorrow, so today I will live. That's how you have life. That's how you live, ladies and gentlemen, by doing what you want to do, by doing what you were meant to do, by doing what you were born to do. School, jobs, politics, all these kind of careers and brainwashing institutions that we've all been through have designed to rob us of knowing what we want to do. By designed to rob us of knowing who we are. Designed to rob us of our right and true inherent capacity to make our lives what we want them to be. And because they're trying to prevent so many things that are good like that from happening, you have to fight 10,000 times harder than you should ever have to in order to get it back. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You're going to love it. Oh, yeah. And the recession, you know, everybody's like kind of doom and gloom. Everybody's saying, oh, there's going to be a race war if Romney wins, or there's going to be a civil war if Obama wins. And, you know, sure enough, no freaking war. What were you all worried about? Well, answer is you were all worried about stuff that wasn't going to freaking happen anyway. And in the midst of worrying about it, you stopped thinking about it. And you started voting for these people, trying to prevent one war or the other. And the reality is, both of them are going to probably commit a war on you anyway. You know, you imagine the recession. Imagine the mega depression that's looming. Okay, you come out and suddenly supplies are out. Ain't no groceries. Ain't no cafes. Ain't no ciggies. Ain't no weed. Ain't no alcohol. I know food, there's nothing. And all the distraught masses will be clamoring over each other, killing a mofo for a bag of corn chips. You know what I'm going to be doing when the recession happens, when it hits? I'm not going to be sitting at home. I'm not going to be escaping. Or at least I wouldn't want to. What I actually really want to do, as soon as the recession hits, I'm going to get in my megaphones, I'm going to get in my batteries, and I'm going to be going out into the streets. Well, I'm just going to tell people, you know.
I know that you are tired. I know that you are afraid. I know that the ciggies have run out. I know that you all want to have a drink. I know that your weed has run out. And I know that you're all stressed and you're all miserable. And it seems hopeless. And I know that you want to take things from other people, that you want to hurt other people just so that you can survive. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be that way. The people around you are now your family. I want you to close your eyes for a moment as a group and stand out. Have a moment just to share with everybody your pain and your suffering, and realize that We are now one family. I will not hurt my family. I will not steal from my family. I will do nothing to hurt them at all. And close your eyes for a second. Just for 3 seconds, close your eyes. And count them out. Over those 3 seconds, I want you to take one deep breath in and exhale one deep breath out. When you breathe in, you will feel all the pain and all the suffering of all those around you who are now your family. And when you breathe out, I want you to breathe out all of that fear that you've got of being robbed, of being hurt by other people. Breathe in and breathe out. You are now together. We will all help each other in every way that we can.
That's what I plan to do, ladies and gentlemen. Because you've got to really care about other people and you've got to understand the kind of crap that they're going through. We're all part of this human experience, and you'll be surprised how much we can accomplish if we go at it together. How much we care about each other. You'll be surprised. I've seen so many people, in the truth movement at least, sacrifice their entire lives to save those people around them, to try and inform them about a train that's coming down the tracks, bearing down on them, and walk away with virtually nothing to show for it. You know, I mean, if we don't all come together, we're all going to hang separate, and you can't be fighting or competing against each other when you're in such dire straits. I mean, imagine running out of weed, never being able to get near more. That would make you go nuts. Society would collapse. People would go crazy. It doesn't have to be that way. Like I said, you have a look at what's being done, you analyze what's being done wrong, and you do the direct opposite. Everybody runs away, looks after themselves. I will run right into it and look after everybody else. Okay? Stop thinking that the crowd is doing the right thing. The crowd is virtually never doing the right thing. Galileo said the world was round. Everybody freaking laughed at him. He was right. I was yelling out that Obama's a scumbag and Romney's a scumbag too. By myself, felt like. And yeah, there are all these people in the crowds waiting to hear these people speak who actually waited in lines for hours to vote. And they believe everything that comes out of their mouth. They're all wrong. I'm right. Okay? You're that smart too, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening to American Freedom Radio, you're smarter than all of those morons combined. Okay? They got nothing on you. You're brilliant. You're talented. You're capable. You're inventive. You have faith. You strive for something better. You don't sit back and watch things go to hell around you without doing something about it. You are the cream on the top of the milk. It comes freshly out of a nice, beautiful Amish cow. You are the salt of the earth, ladies and gentlemen. All of you. Not because you've done something great. Not because you voted for the guy who won. But because you're prepared to listen to the voices and support the voices who are willing to stand alone and tell the truth anyway. That makes you the most valuable people on this whole planet. That is what makes you
worth it. You are the very thing that supports me in everything that I do. Without the subscriptions, without those donations, without the sales off the website, I would not exist if not for all of you. That's the reason why I'm doing this. You know, I could give two fracks about what happens to me. I want to help people, but at the end of the day, if I have to get taken out because of it, so be it. So be it. At least on my final day of life, I don't have to regret anything. Who wants to feel a life filled with regret? Hell no. Let's get together, let's laugh, let's have some fun. Let's chill out. Let's talk about things that really matter. Let's get introspective and outrospective. Let's have some out-of-body experiences. Let's laugh at how stupid the elections were. Let's have some absolutely good, raucous times. Let's be like Doctor Who. Laugh in the face of these Daleks. They might be coming at Chirk saying, exterminate. But they're just robots. They're just machines. Yeah, laugh at them. Laugh at how pathetic they look. Laugh at how incapable they really are. Laugh at their lack of intelligence. Laugh. Just because you can. As soon as you stop laughing, that's when your sanity starts to leave you. I believe that laughter is not only healing for the body, but also the mind. If you look back on horrible experiences that you've had and laugh at them, you're probably pretty healthy. Uh-huh. Friend of mine, one of the listeners to the show, his grandma in Trinidad and Tobago drinks like half a bottle of scotch a day, smokes a whole packet of cigarettes down at the pub with her mate, and she's like 90-something. And I asked him, so, well, hold on a second, that doesn't make sense health-wise, does it? It's me drinking half a bottle of scotch a day and a whole packet of cigarettes, huh? How is that going? Then I asked him, when she's drinking all that liquor, when she's smoking all those cigarettes, by chance is she doing it with a whole bunch of friends? And by chance are they laughing their heads off at any old thing? I said, well, yes. And I said, there's your answer. You know, it's pretty succinct when you look at it like that, ladies and gentlemen. You don't really need to look after yourself in a paranoid, only eat tofu and die while you're jogging type way. Learn how to enjoy yourself, and that will take care of you better than any amount of health advice ever could. Maybe that's a bit too stupid, but you get the idea. Come on, man. These people are always trying to make us unhappy. Let's be beaming. Listen to these big grins. I can't even tell you how many beautiful, beautiful people I've met doing the show. And we're all going, mate, we've been exterminated. Isn't it hilarious? And we've, despite the darkness, despite the fear paradigm, despite the deception, we're still walking around with beaming smiles on our faces. And I can't wait until the rhetoric about the election kind of finishes. Might take a week to die down, if not more. Because this is just a big distraction. I can't be bothered with it anymore. You know, in fact, you know, I'll try and ignore it for as much as I possibly can on the shows in the coming weeks. Because I sense that a lot of people out there also need as much relief from the election privilege and ritual as I do. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.